In its heyday, Woodlesford would have had a lot of livestock come through it, but not actually directed to it, because the Midland Railway had a large trade in importing cattle for fattening up from Ireland, which were imported through Heysham, where there were huge cattle docks at Heysham Harbour constructed by the Midland Railway. And there are photographs of the trains that took these cattle to London, which would have 25 cattle wagons, and every fifth wagon would be an open wagon of hay with a sheeted load. And there are photographs of these block trains of cattle, which would stop after there were regulations as to how long a cow could be on a train before being given water and food. There was a traffic of cattle that were brought over, called store cattle, I believe, for fattening up, and they were brought from Ireland, and then a train would set off from Heysham with 20 or 30 wagons of cattle and drop off three or four wagons at each country station as it went through. I know Long Preston, which I've also researched, had this trade, and Woodlesford they used to be set off in the siding alongside the upline and then unloaded shortly afterwards and taken to Swillington for fattening up.
What did you find out about Armitage's quarry and brickworks when you were doing your researches?
Very little. I know it was there. It had all been closed down and it was flooded. I believe now it's got houses built on it. There was a shed at one end where my friend was at that time housing his steamroller, which is how I met him. But there was traffic of stone and bricks from the quarry, because the collieries were great consumers of bricks which went underground for shoring up passageways and also building the surface buildings. And so the industries were interdependent, and including, I suppose you could include the brewery in that condition as well. The other factor was the very, to some extent, colourful nature of the coal traffic, because each colliery company had its own private owner wagons, and the big coal companies like Briggs's, Pope's and Pearson's, J&J Charlesworth's, who are the big coal owners in the Rothwell area, all had their own wagons with their own names printed on the side. You also got coal wagons coming to individual collieries, depending on the grade of coal that colliery produced, from concerns like gasworks, and even railwomen's coal cooperatives, where a group of railwomen would club together and pay the enormous sum of £100 for a wagon so that they could get cheap coal for their families. And the wagons were built at Wakefield in Charles Roberts's factory, and they were always delivered direct to a colliery, so there was no empty mileage. They went straight from Roberts's to the colliery and then would be hauled up the Midland Railway to wherever the recipients had paid for them. But that first working was always with coal. They didn't waste any money. And I know those were the three coal owners that I know of that Jack Ellis could remember were Pope's and Pearson's, Briggs and Charlesworth's, who he saw a lot of in that area. When I went to Woodlesford in the 1970s, it was mainly, by then, it was becoming a dormitory town for Leeds. And there was quite a big commuter traffic going into Leeds, which the Midland had never really chased, but it had grown. But if you go back to the 1920s and earlier, probably to about 1914, just before the First World War, at a conservative estimate, I think there were about 6,000 male manufacturing and manual jobs within a mile of Woodlesford Station, in terms of the collieries at Waterloo, Fanny Pitt at Rothwell, named after one of Mr. Charlesworth's daughters, the other two were Rose and Jane, and then Waterhague Colliery employed 2,000 men. That was sunk in 1910. The brewery, the brickworks, the quarries, and then only 2 miles further down the line you've got Savile Colliery and Methley Junction Colliery. And there were others in the area at Allerton Bywater. The whole area was dotted with collieries. And I reckon within a mile of the station there were 6,000 manual jobs, which was very different to what you've got now. And it meant that the society was very different as well.
Would all those workers have come from the immediate area? What do you think about that?
No, a lot of them would have travelled in. Some of them lived in the areas. The coal owners built housing and there were coal board estates. But a lot of them would have travelled, and there were trains, which were often not in the public timetables, called paddy trains, which brought miners specifically to certain stations so that they could get to their pits. And the trains were run in conjunction with the shift change times at the particular industries that they were concerned with. And these were quite common in many areas. Some of them even used to go into the pit yards, but I don't think that ever happened at Waterhague.